Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Tracy McMillan, host of Family or Fiancé, is here to chat about the new season and dating during the pandemic. Hip-hop icon RZA is here to chat about directing his new film, Cutthroat City. And closing out the show is Atlanta-based singer-songwriter and actress Brenda Nicole Moore. She's here to chat about her new album, Morrow, as well as starring in the upcoming Aretha Franklin biopic, Respect. We'll also be playing music from Brenda's album throughout the show. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
TV One's original autobiographical series, Uncensored, resumes for its third season beginning Sunday, September 6th at 10 p.m. This new season will feature actor Lorenz Tate, singer and actor Tyrese, rapper and TV personality Eve, reality star Yandy Smith-Harris, Broadway TV and film diva Jennifer Lewis, iconic triple threat performer Debbie Allen, and Atlanta's own actor Omari Hardwick. Go to WCLK. For more information. Uncensored delves into the lives of luminaries as they reveal secrets to their success, obstacles they faced, and how they've navigated the perils of social media that helped but sometimes haunted their careers. Viewers will get a glimpse into their lives of high-profile celebrities as they reveal their own stories in their own words. Watch a sneak peek at WCLK.com. That's this week's entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Georgia Power, providing energy-saving tips for the summer. Energy-saving smart home products like Wi-Fi-enabled smart thermostats can help you save time and energy. Operate your thermostat with ease by controlling your temperature on the go from a variety of smart devices like your smartphone or tablet. You can even program the temperature just once and let the thermostat learn your temperature settings for every season. More energy-saving tips from Georgia Power are available at GeorgiaPower.com/tips.
What would I try to hide the way I feel? You are the one who makes it all so real.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My first segment features Tracy McMillan, host of OWN's popular love and relationship series, Family or Fiancé. The one-hour program is back in full swing and follows engaged couples who bring their disapproving families together for 3 days under one roof. I caught up with Tracy recently to chat about what fans can expect this third season. She also discusses the advantages to dating during this Corona-19 shutdown.
Hey there, Tracy McMillan. How are you? And welcome back to Upfront.
Thanks. It's really good to be back. Sadly, we're not in person, but here we are. We're still here.
It's what it is, but we have made the most of this. I call it the Corona storm because I feel like we're in a storm and it's going to pass. And so we're just...
It's a long storm.
It is.
It's a long storm.
It is. But you're back for another season of Family and Fiancé. And I got to tell you, we've been, my sister and I, we're big fans of the show. We've been watching it. And totally love it. Totally love. One of the things that I noticed this season was, and I'm just going to jump right into it.
Yeah, jump in it.
Dynamics of the brides and their mothers. I don't know, but the first couple of episodes, we really got to see these daughters and mothers who sort of had some kind of up and down relationships really come back together. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think it was the very first episode that the mother and daughter did not get along really at all, but that them being together in the house really brought them together. And this last episode that we witnessed, that was also kind of the same thing where the mother was like, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong in raising you? So can we talk about that? Cause that's a little new.
Yeah. No, see, to me, it's like everybody comes across the threshold into the house with one idea. Like, we're going to have this experience. Maybe they even think they're going to have 3 days in Malibu. And then by day two, when we show, you know, day one, they're all happy. Day two, they're all shook. They're like, what is happening? So no matter who they are, no matter the couple or the family, by in the first 24 hours, things come to the surface that they really did not imagine or did not know were down there kind of lurking. So, and then that becomes what they work on. And whether that's like the family, you know, the relationship between the mom and the daughter, sometimes between the mom and the son, but there's always going to be a relationship that's actually complicating the couple relationship. And this makes sense too, because when you think about it, most of our relationship problems are problems that are, that began in our original families. And then we play them out in our relationships. So the show, the premise of the show really just gets the cause and the effect under the same roof, and you can start to work things out, you know? Because first it has to surface, like, in order to work it out.
Absolutely. And as a viewer, I'm always just at the end, like, okay, they got it. Because as you're watching it, again, you kind of go in like, okay, what's the drama here? But then as it starts to play out, you realize, okay, this is where, you know, they need some help here. They definitely need some help here. And I love the fact that the exercises that you give them really help them kind of see that. They're able to mm-hmm. kind of see, especially with this last episode, I can't remember the young man's name, but there was the issue of the mother.
Akil.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to, the demonstration where they had to dramatize what they were going
yeah.
to the restaurant, they were able to see a whole different side of him that they had never right. seen before. And I was like, oh wow, this is brilliant, because I think it went off in their minds that, okay, this guy is not as, you know, as bad as we think that he is, or he's not
right.
this person that we think he is. He actually has emotions. He actually has feelings. So I love that the, you know, objective.
Well, what's interesting is that that's happening in real time. Like, I remember getting a call saying, wow, Akil really surprised everyone at improv. Nobody thought that's what he was going to be. And now they're all changing their minds about him a little bit. Now, it didn't mean that the couple was any further down the road. Cause you know, they put the engagement on hold, but it humanized him to the mother, her mother in particular, who was just, you know, walked in quite sure of what was happening here. And she really, you know, you want that people are able to learn and able to let go of their ideas that they walk in the door with and see a human being for more of who they are, you know? And that's what all relationships need, is that we are able to like see the God, if you will, in an individual, even if they're very different from us, you know?
Absolutely. So I have to ask, Tracy, since we're in the midst of a pandemic and, as I call it, the corona storm, and I've been asked this question, I actually did a Zoom on this question. How can you effectively date during a pandemic? I mean, we're all at home, we can't
right.
you know, get together, but people are asking, and I've been asked this question, like,
yeah.
how do you effectively date during a pandemic?
Well, I think what it does is it's just like rolling the clock back to 1875, let's say, or, you know, 1915. It's like dating now is, in a way, what dating was all the way up until the invention of the pill, right? Like, dating was a certain thing where you really had a very long period of getting to know the person. You had a long period of being supervised. And only way deep into the relationship did it become physical. So it's not that there's no precedent for what's happening right now, but we need to kind of go back into history to find the lessons of how to do this. And what I think happens is that people spend a lot more time in the getting to know you phase and a lot more time on the phone, for example, or email or text or whatever. And the beauty of that is that when people become physical, certain like hormonal and brain chemical things start to happen that actually really just hijack the entire process of dating. And now we're not having that hijacking happen because you're not getting so involved with somebody that you can't see them clearly. So I think there's an actual huge upside to what's happening right now as far as dating is concerned. You can, let's say you're on the apps. So you're way more in possession of your mind, of your like right mind, because you know the goal is not to like have sex with this person, because that's not even on the table, you know? Like, hopefully you're going to go through a bunch of people, find one person that hits right on every level, right? Or, you know, because you've got intellectual, emotional, physical, spiritual, and sexual. Those are all the levels. So hopefully you find somebody after all this dating, which is to say conversations, interactions, maybe walks, that hits right on all those levels. And then that's the one person you're going to break the seal for. You know what I mean? Break the seal, break the COVID seal. And then it becomes like you get tested, you know you're good, and then you're not going to just let any old buddy in here on that, you know? So I feel like in a way, this is really good, because my personal experience is you're kind of ruling people out way, way, way earlier in the process. Now, in a way, this is how I've been wanting to date all along. I was a foster child, so I never wanted to know about, like, I was always really kind of terrified to like bond with people, because what if they abandon me? I don't want to reenact my childhood where people are abandoning me left, right, and center. So I sort of was always like this, but people be like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, they're like, let's do this. And I'd be like, no, I need to date you for a month before I understand whether there's anything here. And then I tended to get involved in very long-term relationships, even relationships that led to marriage, because my pre-qualifying process was so intense. It's like, this is not a renting type situation, and it's sure enough not an Airbnb. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, you sign up for this. So I feel like there's a real opportunity here in dating to just slow it way down and be more honest when it becomes obvious there's not really a thing here that's going to go the distance.
Listen to the full conversation with Tracy McMillan at WCLK.com.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the High Museum of Art, open to the public with increased safety procedures, and presenting Pa Joe, Gates of No Return, on view through August 16th. The exhibition features large-scale sculptures from Ghanaian folk artist Pa Joe, reflecting on the transatlantic slave trade, and is based on the Ghanaian tradition of figurative coffins. Ticket information is available at high.org.
This is Lisa Arendell, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
My next segment comes from the AFCA Roundtable interview with hip-hop icon, producer, actor, and filmmaker RZA. His new film, Cutthroat City, debuts this week. The story is set after Hurricane Katrina, where four boyhood friends out of options reluctantly accept an offer to pull off a dangerous heist in the heart of New Orleans. The film features Terrence Howard, Wesley Snipes, Isaiah Washington, Ethan Hawke, Rob Morgan, Cat Graham, and Atlanta's own T.I. and Shameik Moore. Here's what RZA had to say about his all-star cast.
With casting, it comes with the producers, the casting agent, and of course the director has the final word. Terrence was attached early. Me and him had talked about this film like years ago. So he was probably the one who was always going to be a part of this, you know, always wanted him to be a part of it. And scheduling became a challenge. Wesley actually, you know, came in maybe only like a month before shooting. You know what I mean? It was a blessing to get him. One of the producers worked with him since New Jack City, I guess. And he reached out. Then Wes called me. He said, bro, I read it. Wesley calls me Bong Bong. He said, Bong Bong, what's up? I read it. I'm thinking of coming down to New Orleans with you. I was like, ah, man, you come down, man. It'd be crazy. So I said, I got some crazy ideas for the character, but I'm feeling it. And Bong. So it evolves, you know what I mean? Some people we lost, you know, T.I. was also a blessing because Cameron Mitchell was my agent at the time. He helped a lot, you know, bringing in some of the cast as well, right? Just, you know, really supporting and rooting. But when I first had the draft, it was really a big, muscular, take the shirt off, rip scene for T.I.'s character, right? And I actually wanted Method Man to do it. You know what I mean? So I had him as my first choice. And Meth, at the time, when he read it, he's like, I love the story, but I'm not in a bad guy's mindset right now. You know what I mean? I was like, man, I want the world to see you, like, because, you know, he got all these muscles and, like, you know what I mean? And he said he wasn't in that mindset. And so then they sent it to T.I., and T.I. was like, he's real interested in doing it. And, man, if I could tell you, if anybody to me really, like, made my, like, you know, the little spinal thing go up when you get that good vibe, it was T.I. Yo, he helped his gravitas in this role. I was blown away. And the DP was blown away. The crew, they all was like, he gained a load of fans, man, right on set after every performance.
Watch the full AFCA roundtable interview with RZA at WCLK.com.
Order the new Jazz 91.9 WCLK mask at WCLK.com. Now that masks are required to be worn in a number of public places, the new Jazz 91.9 WCLK mask is the perfect solution. The WCLK masks are comfortable, breathable, and made of ultra-soft jersey fabric. Get your Jazz 91.9 WCLK mask today at WCLK.com.
Hi, this is Melissa Ingram, General Manager of Aspire TV, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
That was the voice of Atlanta's own Brenda Nicole Moorer with her rendition of the Stevie Wonder mini Ripperton classic, Take a Little Trip. The song appears on her new album, Morrow, which drops this week on August 7th. I caught up with the award-winning performer to chat about the project and her role in the upcoming Aretha Franklin biopic, Respect.
It was an incredible opportunity, and just the way that it all came together was divine. I very much believe in, like, numbers and signs from the world, and threes show up in my life all the time. And so when I got this role, they assign a number to you, like in the script, you have a number. So my number was 33, and that number just kept coming up all the time throughout that whole film. And so it was just a blessing. And that the character's name was Brenda, like, it was just meant to be. It was all just meant to be. Even how I got called in for the role, like to audition for it, I auditioned four different times. And it was weird because usually when I audition for something, I have, like, nerves. I'm, like, super, like, oh, my God, am I doing this right? Am I going to be good enough for this? All these questions go through my mind. But for this role, like, the last audition that I did was with the director and the writer in the room. And I should have been nervous. Like, usually I would have been. But I was just so peaceful and so calm. It was just like, they asked me to step outside. I did my audition. They asked me to step outside for a minute. And I was just like, well, I did what I could do. I brought me. I perform for a living. All I did is go in there and perform like I normally would. They either like it or they don't like it. And they called me back in. They asked me to do one more thing. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, let's do it. I can do it. Let's do it. And we did it. And then days went by, days. And I was like, oh my God, they hate me. All these thoughts are coming back to my mind. And then I got a call from my agent, and she was just like, Brenda, you got it. And I was like, what? Like, what? I cried tears of joy. Like, I was driving when I got the call. I should not have answered the phone. But I knew it was my agent. I was like, this is important. I pulled over, and I was just bawling tears of joy. Like, I could uncontrollably bawling, because it really is a life-changing opportunity. It really was a blessing.
Absolutely. And so I think how I found out was that I saw the last cast picture that you guys took, I think back in December, maybe?
Yeah.
When they released it. And I was like, no way, no, Brent is in this movie. And so this pairs you with two women whose talents I thoroughly enjoy. And that's, of course, Jennifer Hudson, who's playing Aretha Franklin, but also Saikhan Simbla, who is starring as one of the siblings as well. So what was it like working with them on set?
So amazing. First of all, Jennifer is like the sweetest, nicest person in the world. She made everyone feel so comfortable. I was like, I should be like, why am I even in this room right now? But she made me feel like I belonged. And she actually, during the course of filming, was like, this is so eerie. This is so weird, because it just reminds me, feels like the making of Dreamgirls. Like the feeling, energy that was in the air is the same thing. And she was like, Eddie Murphy said during that time, because of the energy, he was like, this is going to win an Oscar. We already know it's going to win, just because of the way that it felt. And she was like, that same energy is present at the same time. And she was just encouraging all of us that this movie was going to be so instrumental and pivotal in our careers. She's like, y'all don't even know what's about to come. She was so encouraging. And then Saikhan, my sister, oh my God. I have known, as you know, Saikhan for a long time. I used to actually, when I graduated high school, I was singing background for Saikhan when she was doing, pinup dolls, something like that. She was on the cover and looking all cute with the curls and the pinup stripes and stuff. I sang background for her for about a year, I think. And her and Christine Horn were very instrumental in me becoming and being like confident enough to be like, I can do this, and singing background for other people. And then eventually like coming into my own, because I came from YA. So that's how I know Saikhan and Christine. But Saikhan was, yeah, instrumental in help, like rooting for me to get this part. No one has power to say, hire this person. That's not a thing. But to suggest, like, look at this person needs to be looked at. I have to say Saikhan was my advocate, my angel in the wing for getting them to look at me for this part. Yeah, it was a blessing, and I love her.
Wow. So you're listening to the voice of Brenda Nicole Moore, singer, actress, just an all-around creative. Let's get into this album. So we open the segment with your song, Take a Little Trip, which is a remake of the Stevie Wonder song that was written for and appeared on the Minnie Riperton, a classic Minnie Riperton album. What was it like recreating such a classic tune?
Man, we had a lot of pressure. Most every other song in that record has a solo, because it was very collaborative and a lot of the solos were improvised. That particular song, there is no solo, because we were all scared. We were all like, we don't want to mess it up. It's a difficult song. And then basically the way we changed it is we put like a hip hop drum beat to it. So it made it more interesting. The chords that were already there that Stevie wrote were already brilliant. They were already modern and timeless. So there was like really no reason of changing chords. So we just played with rhythm a lot. And we had a ball doing it. We really did. I had been listening. I'm always listening to Minnie Riperton, but particularly in the making of this album, I was listening to her a lot, just because I feel like my voice is not, it doesn't fall into one kind of genre. And because I sing all kinds of different music, it's hard to find other artists that I can listen to and relate to and see myself in. But Minnie is one of those artists. And so I really spent in this album trying to figure out my voice. So I spent a lot of time listening to Minnie because I felt connected to her. And that song in particular, Take a Little Trip, is very much about what I was trying to get at the root of what I was talking about through the whole album, which is taking time with yourself, figuring out what your deeper purpose and core in your life is. That's what that song is talking about. So we were coming up with another song for the record, and I was like, you know what? I've been listening to this song. Why don't we just cover it? I've never done a cover, and this fits perfectly. So we did it, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, we're definitely playing that song. Jamal Ahmed, of course, has been playing.
Thank you, Jamal.
Yeah, it's a little jazz, so big ups to him. One of the other songs that I just, actually there's several, but Find Your Way is a song that because the album, as you mentioned or alluded to, has jazz, it has some acoustic sounds, it has some mm-hmm. very earthy tones to it. Find Your Way, mm-hmm. I totally love. Catch Me Falling, track number 3, I love.
Yeah.
Really, as I was saying in the beginning, take me away. And you know, we're in this time of having to quarantine and be home and be still. And I really feel like this album takes you out of where you are right now. It takes you away from your troubles. It takes you away from the concerns that are happening around our country and around the state of Georgia, and really takes you to a place of peace. And as you said, finding your light. And one of your tunes, Your Light, actually does that as well. So let's talk about that, again, that whole theme of finding your light and the fact that this album or this project is dropping during the pandemic.
Yeah, writing this album, I was searching in myself to find my own core. And I mean, as artists, we write about what we're experiencing and what's going on around us. And this process started like almost 2 years ago. So it's been a journey for me. And I feel like the title Marrow comes from the idea of bone marrow, like that thing in your body that is the reproduction of all your blood cells. It is what is making you be able to have oxygen and breathe, and it is the core of who you are. And so we started calling it Marrow just as kind of like a placeholder, but then it just kind of stuck because there was nothing else as grounded that I could think of. And a lot of people have pushed when their albums were coming out, but I really felt like putting this album out right now is needed because it is serving its purpose. I hope it will serve its purpose in providing people just a reminder to take time to think about your own life and your own choices and actions and views about yourself. And also encouraging everyone that we all have light and purpose inside of us, because especially right now, you know, life is a little strange, so it can be hard on a regular basis, but even more so right now. So the fact that you said that literally is like making me tear up, thinking that if you felt that way from listening to some of the songs, then I did what I set out to do.
Catch the rest of my interview with Brenda Nicole Moore and watch the video for her newest single, Find Your Way, at WCLK.com. Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, RZA, Tracy McMillan, and Brenda Nicole Moore. I'd also like to take this time to thank our engineer, Jami Wellman, and our voice of casting buzz and entertainment news, Reva Blue. Please join us next week for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, everyone.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's jazz station, 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.